Well, good morning. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, and we're glad to have you with us, whether you're in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week, we are glad that you are here. If you are with us and you're visiting us, please be welcome to scan that QR code on your phone to learn more about our church. And if you're not new here, you can also scan the QR code if you need to change your address or any contact information, and we'll make sure that we get that changed in our records. A few announcements. We have our final Wednesday Lenten service this coming week, because next week we have Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, so we won't have a Wednesday service next week. And so that is... We're coming up on Holy Week and Easter very, very quickly. So let's see. Liv Westhouse has an announcement for us.
This announcement is in regard to our soup luncheon and fundraiser on April 26th. Good morning, my name is Livia, and I am one of this year's confirmation candidates. We're excited and grateful to share that many parishioners have already donated raffle baskets and monetary gifts. We thank you so much for your generosity and support. We plan to begin displaying the baskets on Easter Sunday. If possible, please bring your donations to the church during office hours the week prior, or contact Becky Smith if another time works better for you. We'll take care of the cellophane wrapping, so no need to worry about that. Raffle baskets will go on sale starting April 12th. If you're unable to have your basket ready by April 5th, that's absolutely fine. Donations are still welcome the following weeks. Thank you for supporting our confirmation class and helping us grow in faith and service. We truly appreciate you.
Thank you, Liv. You'd be a great liturgist, just saying. Any other announcements this morning? I know Alana's got a couple.
I have one large one. We have several sign-up sheets on the butcher block, as you may have seen. We need readers for both the Monday-Thursday service here at church at 7 o'clock next week, and then also the Good Friday service over at Methodist Church. Would also like to see some people from our church do some readings, if possible. That's at noon on Good Friday. And then also youth group, there's two more Mondays that they meet that they need a chaperone for, May 4th and May 18th, I think it is. And then also the sign-up sheets for liturgists are open for April coming up. I'll have the sign-up sheet out soon. And then also for transportation for you for a little while yet. So we'll please sign up if you can.
Sounds great. Thank you. And Kathy, you have an announcement.
Good morning. So it is getting to be about that time now that the weather's getting nice to start talking about the annual church broad fry in Brandon. So this year, the weekend that they've chosen for us is technically is the third Saturday in August. So it would be that Friday and Saturday, August 14th and 15th. So please mark it on your calendars. We're always looking for volunteers to help. Now, the big announcement about this is my husband is retiring from being in charge of it. We actually have another commitment that weekend, so he figured, well, this might be the good year to pass it on to somebody else here in church. So if you find it in your heart to want to volunteer to run it, it really is not hard. If you have any questions, you can always contact him, Derek Indermill. You can also reach out to Pastor Jacob and John O'Donovan. If you have any questions, or you can talk to me too. I know a little bit about it, but it is a lot of fun. It really is not that much work when you have a lot of helpful hands, make less work. So it's a good time. Any questions, let me know. I'll be around a little bit after church, or again, you can reach out to Pastor Jacob or John. So August 14th and 15th, and we're looking for somebody to head up the Brat Fry. We do have the contract already signed and sent back. Derek was able to do that. But anyways, so that's it, I guess. So thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. And Heather, you've got one?
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to invite anybody who's able to come this afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. We're going to be doing food prepping again for some families in our community who've been identified as needing some additional assistance with that. And we'll be making two meals for approximately 38 people. We're going to be making turkey sloppy joes and also a creamy Italian chicken meal. And we're gonna do it all in less than 2 hours. It's gonna be very easy, but many hands make light work. So if you're able to join us from 2 to 4, we'd appreciate some additional assistance with that. I also wanna say thank you on behalf of the Missions Committee for all that you've already contributed to be able to allow us to purchase the groceries and provide crock pots for those that don't have them. So please feel free to just drop in. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Anything else this morning? Okay, then let us begin our worship.
Please rise and join me in today's call to worship. Welcome to the weary and the worn. Welcome to the skeptical and the seeking. Welcome to the rule followers and the rule breakers.
Welcome to those hungry for justice and those desperate for mercy.
Welcome to the sinners and the saints.
This is God's house.
You can make yourself at home here.
Let us worship our just, merciful, and faithful God.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Holy One, when you speak, we don't want to miss it. When you bend down and write in the dirt, when you move through the trees, and when you wake with the dawn, when you tug on our hearts or whisper in our dreams, we don't want to miss it. So today we pray, clear out the cobwebs in our ears, quiet the steady stream of thoughts marching through our minds, open up space in our hearts so that we can receive a word for us today. Hope we pray. Amen.
Our opening song, and you can actually be seated. Our opening song is by my friend Richard Brooksford Colligan, and it's called Unfailing Love, and he introduces it before he leads it. So he'll be leading us through this song via video.
Hello, friends. Psalm 32 today. This psalm is about the mystery of forgiveness. The psalmist seems to have had an amazing experience of liberation, having been forgiven. So powerful that she wants to tell everybody she knows, don't be stubborn like me, ask for forgiveness. I tried so hard to cover up what I had done wrong and I felt awful. And then God forgave me and it was like a whole new world. So please ask for forgiveness, do whatever you need to do because it's amazing. This song is called Unfailing Love. Now the word in Hebrew for that is chesed. Try saying that with me. Chesed. Yeah, with lots of nice with there. Chesed. This word is sometimes also translated into English as steadfast love or covenant love. It's the love that will not let us go, no matter what. Unfailing love. This song is more of a listening song, so your only part, if you wish, is to sing with me, unfailing love, when that comes around. Just try that one little thing, those two words, ready? Unfailing love, just like that. Yeah. I tried so hard to cover it up, avoiding the truth, pretending to be strong. Turns out I can cover it all. There's no need to hide when everything's gone wrong. Come and begin again. Come and begin again. Yeah. Unfailing love forgives it all. Unfailing love, a brand new start. No matter what, we trust in God's unfailing love. Those two little words one more time. Unfailing love. Yeah. Well, anytime we're falling apart, forgetting the one who loves us forever, we are still the people of God, confessing our need, forgiven together. Come and begin again. Come and begin again. Unfailing love forgives it all. Unfailing love, a brand new start. No matter what, we trust in God's unfailing love. Deep, and I could hide nowhere. Fear was choking me, then I heard the words of his love, come and start over. Come and begin again. Come and begin again. Unfailing love forgives it all. Unfailing love, no matter what, we trust in God's unfailing love, forgives it all. Unfailing love, a brand new start. No matter what, we trust in God's unfailing love. Ooh, unfailing love. Last one. Unfailing love.
So now we've got something special before we have children's time. I'd like to invite Becky Smith and Kathy Indermule and Miles Spurger to come on up. So as we typically do in the church, we always give a Bible to a fifth grader. And today we've got Miles, and we've actually added a liturgy in addition to me saying a prayer. Becky's got some things, Kathy's got some things, and you've got a part as well, congregation. So please join us in gifting this Bible to Miles. And Becky, is there anything you want to say about that before we get into the actual liturgy?
Yes. Miles, we're going to give you this. I came across this in my office Heather's former office, so she's probably seen this book before. I thought it was the coolest thing. It says, your first Bible, a reading guide for kids, and it kind of gets them excited. Don't worry, I won't read this whole thing to you. But there's, for Miles, it says six great stories about Jesus, five stories about kids. I like this one, eight girl power stories. Six awesome miracle stories, and four really gross moments in the Bible. And then it tells you where to find them. So it kind of gets kids excited. So if you're interested in any of those, this pamphlet's going to be presented to you today as well. All right.
We have brand new Bibles that we're transitioning to. It's the New Revised Standard Version Updated Edition, which is the best in biblical scholarship these days. So, Becky?
Today we celebrate a special moment in your faith journey. It is our joy to place this Bible in your hands. When you open it, remember how deeply you are loved by God, by your family, and by your church family.
Inside these pages are stories of love, courage, and hope. They tell us who we are and how deeply we belong to God and to one another.
Miles, receive the word of God. Trust its truth. Here, God offers wisdom far greater than our own. And here, God leads us, strengthens us, and gives us purpose. So, here's your Bible, Miles. And now, congregation, here comes your part. We give thanks for you and for this new step in your walk with God. May God's word guide you wherever life takes you and fill you with hope. We promise to learn alongside you and grow together in love and faith. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for your word. We accept it and treasure it as a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. Thank you for all who have loved us, prayed for us, and helped us grow in faith. Multiply the wisdom and grace you have shared through them. May your word live in us and shine through us for the honor and glory of your name. And let all the people say, Amen. Thank you, Miles. Congratulations. Now it's children's time, so Becky, don't go anywhere.
All right, are there any children with us today? I see some.
Got a few, yeah. Oh,
thank you. Forgot about that. Come on, Ray and John and Trey. We got another one coming up from the back. Come on up. Everyone is welcome. You guys want to, you girls want to come up by us? Come join us. If she wants to go back to Mom, you can still come up.
And Mom can still come up too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
If they go back and forth, that's okay.
Yeah.
They're welcome. All right. We have a birthday girl with us today, so I can't help but just... Tell everybody how old you are. Tomorrow's your birthday, right?
Yeah.
How old are you going to be?
Five.
Yeah.
Is that cool or what?
Yeah, let's sing happy early birthday to Torin. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Torin. Happy birthday to you.
All right. We got a special little treat for Torin and her birthday, and treats for the other kids too when we go back for Sunday school. How does that sound? All right. Today I kind of took Psalm 23, but last time I talked about Psalm 23, I talked about the Lord is my shepherd. This time I'm going to talk about taking the right path, which is still part of Psalm 23. Have you ever gone hiking? How many of you have ever gone hiking? Yeah. You want to say where? Anybody want to share where they went?
I forgot.
You forgot. Good thing Mom and Dad were with you. You might have got lost. Where, you know?
In our woods.
In your woods? Perfect spot to go hiking, that's for sure. Did the trail that you guys were on, did it ever go in like two or three different directions? Yeah?
More.
You too?
Yeah.
Yeah? How do you know which one is the right path to take?
Because I was at my house for a long time.
Okay, so one path led right to your house, I bet. That's a good trail to take, isn't it? What?
Into a castle.
A trail that took you to a castle?
Yeah. That's a naval.
Oh, your neighbor's castle?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So we're talking about what is the right path. So today I'm going to illustrate God's way versus the world way or the human way of taking the right path. So I'm going to give each of you a piece of newspaper here. And you got to hold it right side up like this. Can you hold it right side up? So the words are right side up or letters are right side up or the picture is right side up. Okay. You take one. You take one. It really doesn't matter. You want one? All right. Okay. Now, what I want you to do is hold it right side up like this and just watch me, and then you guys do the same thing. You'll hold it up here with your hands, take your other hand, and pull straight down nice and slow. And it should pull fairly straight. Mine did, just tear it. Oh, look how straight Trey's is. Look how straight Jasper's was. Oh, my Ray's is straight. John's is straight. Torrance is straight. Wow. Perfect. That straight, fairly straight, hold up your strip and show them how straight that was. That's pretty straight. That represents God's way, taking the right path. Now, turn your paper sideways. Can you turn your paper sideways? And tear down from the top, nice and slow like you did, and see if you can get it to go straight. Oh, that's mine. Look at yours. Yours didn't work either? No. Yours didn't work either? How? Wow. Yeah, I got a little one too. Yeah, that represents sometimes we take the wrong path. Sometimes we take the wrong path. So that illustrates someone not following God's way. When we follow God's way, it's usually and almost always the easier path. Okay? So it just illustrates that we have to remember to do things God's way. And when we don't know the right path to take, we can always ask God.
And today, in worship, we're talking about a story about a woman who didn't follow God's way, but is forgiven in a very specific way, and how even when we don't follow the ways of God, that we can be forgiven and we know that we're loved.
Pastor Jacob, can you lead us in prayer?
And then absolutely.
Kids, when we go back, we're going to take all our newspaper parts with us, okay?
All right. Let's pray. I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God,
thank you
for showing us the path to go,
the path to your love,
the path to your justice, and the path of hope.
Help us
follow your way and show your love
and share our blessings
wherever we go. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Take your newspaper with you and go on to Sunday school.
Jesus once said to a crowd, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone." Friends, none of us are without sin. None of us get it right all the time. None of us can get by without God's grace. In the prayer of confession, we acknowledge this truth. We put down our stones and we turn to God for forgiveness. Please join me in this act of transformation. Let us pray. Holy God, we love to live our lives by the rules. We love clear choices. We love right and wrong. We love swift justice. We love to pick up stones. Would you show us another way? We welcome shades of gray and nuanced conversation. You prioritize mercy over legality. You prioritize people over tradition. You prioritize love over everything. Forgive us for losing sight of what truly matters. Forgive us for clinging tighter to laws than to each other. Forgive us. Soften our hearts. Root us in mercy, justice, and love. With hope for a better tomorrow, we pray. Amen. Church family, Jesus saw a crowd ready to throw stones and invited them to choose another way. Jesus offered them grace, mercy, and compassion, and the same can be said for us. So hear and believe the good news of the gospel. Our God is a God of mercy. Our God is a God of compassion. Our God is a God of grace. We are forgiven, loved, and invited to choose another way. Thanks be to God for yet another second chance. Amen. First scripture reading for today is from John 8, verses 2 through 11. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to preach to them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They said this to test him, so they may have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Women, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." Second scripture reading is Matthew 23, verse 23. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others." Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diane. My friends, will you pray with me? God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So a few months ago, I started a sermon with a story about getting my first shoe lift back in high school and what that represented for my physical health. So today, I'm going to share a story, a bit of a different side of that story, which happened shortly afterwards. So as I might have told you, I basically had to relearn how to walk because I had a 2-inch leg length difference, and so I was always kind of waddling my way through wherever, and it did a number on my hips and, you know, the whole thing. I basically had to relearn how to walk, and it took a couple of solid weeks to sort of unlearn some patterns, right? And so one day, I was on my way to class. Now, Neenah High School is quite large. The old Neenah High School that I went to is quite large, and the new Neenah High School on the other side of town is even larger. So I had a little bit less than 500 people in my graduating class, so that gives you a bit of an idea. So I had to go one day from one end of the school upstairs to the other end of the school downstairs, which was about half a mile, about half a mile walk. And so I was walking pretty fast so that I could get to class on time. All of a sudden, I heard this loud stomping behind me, and I didn't know what it was, so I turned around, and all of a sudden, here's this guy mocking my gait. It was very exaggerated, and he kind of had this sneer on his face, and this whole thing. And his girlfriend was with him. His girlfriend said, "Why are you walking like him?" And he said, "I don't know." And hand in hand, they turned around and walked the other direction. It took me a while to figure out that they were actually talking about me. And so it was, you know, that I was numb for the rest of the day. I don't know what happened after that. Wouldn't it be funny if they got to class and then she broke up with him? Like, you know, that would have been justice. I don't know. But I don't know what happened. I never saw them again after this. But of course, I was numb for the rest of the day, and then, you know, have never forgotten that story since. And luckily, I had lots of friends who were able to console me after everything had happened and all of that. But in that moment, I kind of felt like the woman from today's text, who was vilified and put up for, you know, public humiliation. And Jesus, like the girlfriend, was sort of the person who sort of interrupted that bullying. So first, to give you a little context here, you know, as a society, we don't do particularly well with human difference. In reality, we're only good at associating with people who are like us. Anything different about people, our race, our gender, sexual orientation, disability, socioeconomic status, whatever, is viewed negatively instead of being understood as part of the the beautiful tapestry of human life. And difference is so often equated with sin in religious circles, from the whitewashed history of American Christianity to the Bible's contradictory depiction of disability, to Paul's belief that women should be silenced and not allowed to be leaders of a church. Now, I hadn't done anything to earn this jeering, but to that guy, my sin was that I was different. Now, it strikes me that this young woman had the strength to interrupt bullying that she witnessed, even from her romantic partner. So first, just to tell you a little bit about stoning. Stoning is an ancient practice that some countries actually still use, but more developed countries like ours consider the practice too barbaric because it involves very public shaming, and stoning somebody to death is a very inhumane way to put somebody to death. So adultery was condemned in a very specific way in biblical times, and that sort of condemnation led to a very specific kind of punishment. Stoning was the usual punishment for acts of adultery, and a community of people were legally required to carry it out. It couldn't happen in private. It was legally required that there were a whole bunch of people there. The Israelites believed that sexual immorality defiled the land. If the community tolerated such acts, they risked losing God's protection and being vomited out of the territory, as is written in Leviticus. Death was the mechanism to purge the evil from the midst of the congregation. Now, people couldn't be executed by hearsay, so two people who had actually witnessed the act of adultery, the act of intercourse, would be the ones to throw the first stone. Now, we don't know this woman or anything about her. We only know her by the sin that she committed. The chief priests have demeaned her in a long, drawn-out way. I mean, think about this. So if the incident had occurred the previous evening, two people would have had to witness the actual act of intercourse, take her away in the middle of the night, and then keep her in custody all night long until at which point Jesus could pass judgment on her. And by now, they have started to carry out the plan to kill Jesus. And so they are trying to use this woman as a pawn to test Jesus, to see if they can come up with a gotcha that they can arrest Jesus. And so, of course, this woman was terrified, as I'm sure many of us would be in this situation. But Jesus intercedes and calls all the witnesses out on their crap. If you can prove to me that you haven't done anything that you're not proud of, he says, you can go ahead and throw that first stone. Now, here Jesus isn't excusing what this woman had done, but he's implying his belief that the punishment doesn't fit the crime. And more importantly, he's trying to show a new way of God's grace, which overrides legalism. So, what happens next to this woman? We don't know. She completely disappears from the biblical narrative after this encounter. We don't know if she's able to live a different life in any meaningful way or regain some sort of social status or repent of her sins or, you know, all of that. None of those details are afforded to us in the Gospel of John. And that sucks because I think doing so would have been a better redemption story, but John in the gospel text chooses not to address it. Probably because the stories of the women in the Bible are selectively preserved by the men who wrote them. Now, the focus instead is on Jesus and his ability to distinguish between just and unjust laws. He's able to remind people of their own sin and frailty in such a manner that makes everybody else walk away. Sometimes I wonder how many of us might feel like the woman and wish somebody would intercede for us when we are being vilified or publicly shamed or made fun of, whether we've done something wrong or not. As he always does, Jesus chooses love over law. But here's the less comfortable question. How many of us in our society are quick to throw stones at others? How many times would we ourselves have joined that crowd to punish the woman, if not by death, by teaching her some sort of painful lesson? This is not just a sweet story of forgiveness. I think this story calls us to a bit of personal conviction and learning from the ways that we've fallen short ourselves. And I think the good news in today's text is that Jesus continues to intercede for us in our times of trial. And because we believe in God's redemptive and transformational love, I think Jesus calls us to do the same. It's not going to be easy. The work Jesus calls us to never is. Just like that woman, we have the opportunity to start again from whatever skeletons we might have in our closet. Like the girlfriend in my story, or like Jesus, we have the opportunity to interrupt oppressive systems that have allowed the most vulnerable among us to be scrutinized. So how will we have compassion for people like the woman in today's text? How will we continue to show compassion and change the culture for the better? This church has done that in a lot of ways. I was heartened by how many people in our church showed up at the library meetings last year in support of LGBTQ people in the community and their stories. And time and time again, you've offered this church kitchen to our local animal shelter as they do important work to protect animals from abuse and neglect. And also this church culture has offered a non-judgmental space for all manner of marriages that might not be allowed to be performed in other churches. And if they would, they would require some level of public shaming. Because I think this church ultimately understands what it means to have proverbial stones thrown at you. This church's reputation in this town is frankly mixed, depending on who you ask. Some people embrace our radical welcome, while others are so connected to the exclusionary belief system that they've grown up with and are incapable of understanding that there can be another way to practice our faith. And we've made peace with both of those things. We certainly aren't perfect. And of course, we'll mess up over and over again. But Jesus could have upheld the law and he chose not to. Jesus presented to the woman an opportunity for liberation, to have a chance to start again, to have the chance to live a better life. Not one that erases all that we've done wrong, but one that is anchored in knowing our mistakes don't define what we can become. I showed a video this morning in the earlier service where at the end of it, a parent says to his child, "There's nothing you could ever do to make me love you less." And isn't it a beautiful thing that there's nothing that we could ever do to make God love us less? This is the kind of work that our church is called to do. And this is the kind of message, this is the kind of hope that we are called to share. So let's roll up our sleeves and get to work. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is number 372, verses 1 and 2, "I Then Shall Live." Be seated. Now comes the time where we join together in more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that are on our hearts and minds today. Let's take a few moments of silence to think about those folks. So I have a few prayer requests this morning that I've been given. Paul Hartel asks for prayers from this congregation as he has some foot pain and is getting an injection in his foot, hopefully to relieve some of that. For Paul, God in your mercy. Deb and Mike Hammer both need prayers as well. Deb has a ruptured disc in her back, and she's getting a shot this week for that. And Mike just came home from the hospital after a small stroke that affected his right hand, and they've also stopped chemo. So they're going to be talking to his doctor soon to discern the next steps. So for Deb and Mike, God in your mercy. Anything else today?
I received word last night that my Waupun classmate of mine, Victoria Reel, she was a class of 2011 as well, and my mom said last night she had passed away in a car accident. She had lived up in Montana. She had a husband and two small boys, so just prayers for the family. She is the daughter of Jeff and Lori Reel. They owned the vacuum store here several years ago, and they closed up. But yeah, just prayers for the family.
For all who loved Victoria and their family as they grieve, God in your mercy. Anything else? Then let us be in prayer. God, we give you thanks for gathering us here from wherever we are. We give you thanks for all the chances that we have to start again. For all the generosity and forgiveness that you give us when we so easily could be punished for our wrongdoing. We ask you to be with all of those whose names have been mentioned, with Deb and Mike and Paul, and the family of Victoria, as they go through the difficulties that life is bringing them right now. We ask your presence to be with all of them and with all of us as we continue to provide care and compassion. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who showed us the way in his life and in his death, and taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Deliver us from evil. The kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at Union Congregational Church, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. If you'd like, you can give a gift by placing money in the offering plate as the ushers come around. You may also give online by clicking on the donate button at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you do so knowing that your gift benefits not only this church, but the church universal. Thank you. Please join me in the prayer of dedication. God of incredible grace, may these gifts offer us an opportunity to give others what you give to us. Another chance, another way, new hope. Use us to share your message of love and forgiveness wherever we go. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 68, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. As you go, my friends, receive these words of benediction. You have been forgiven so greatly by a God who believes in love over legality and another chance at every turn. May you offer that forgiveness to somebody else. Instead of throwing a stone, may you be empowered to show compassion, to show love, and to show grace, as all of that has been given to you. And now, may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.